JM in the AM. Wednesday morning broadcast. We are in our temporary studio at Yeshiva Dak Hotel, which is among the premier yeshivot in Israel, and the group of yeshivot and seminaries that our students who graduate high school attend in Israel. If they are looking for a meaningful experience post-high school, Yeshivat HaKotel is one of the places that they go to. And the director of the overseas program at Yeshivat HaKotel is a very good friend of ours and has been a guest of ours many, many times. In addition, he has taken on added responsibilities in uniting the Jewish world during this very difficult and challenging time. He is Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan, and he is with us here at Yeshivat HaKotel. He's actually hosting us here at Yeshivat HaKotel as we speak with you on JM in the AM. A pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM. If you told me a couple of weeks ago we'd be doing this face-to-face, I don't know if I would have believed it, but it's a phenomenal feeling being here in the old city of Jerusalem with you.
Nachum, it's great to be with you. I spoke to you, I think, 2 weeks ago, right when the war started, from a distance. But it's so wonderful that you've come all the way out here to give chizuk and to report to everyone there about what's going on here. And I'm happy and eager to share with you about everything going on so your listeners can be in the loop.
I appreciate that. First of all, we should mention and point out that when the Shmini Atzeres massacre, or however it's going to be known forever, took place, immediately many of your students were drafted into reserve duty for the Israeli army. This was happening literally on that day. Gavri described to me how a colleague after colleague of his, students in the yeshiva, were being called. They grabbed their stuff, got a bracha from their Rebbe, and literally left on Yontif, on Shabbos, for wherever their base is. So we should mention that we're in a place that was that has really been on the front lines of this war.
If I may say, Nachum, going back to where you started, and this is maybe a different part of our conversation, I think the war should be called the Machlokas Massacre.
Wow.
Because I think it happened to us because of the machlokas we have within the Jewish people. And I know that's for a later conversation, right, but that's really what I suggest. But relating to the second part of your point, that was the first way you really see as an observant Jew that something's going on. It's a boy from TABC, Yitzi Rothschild, who's on the front lines, who's an alumnus of ours that lives here in Israel, and he was here for Simchat Torah. He said, Rebbe, can I use your apartment here? I'm like, what do you need? He goes, I need to talk on the phone. Because he had to turn his phone on, call his commander. And,
sure,
you know, we're used to, you don't have your phone on. And that's how I realized right away, this isn't just a regular siren. And as you said, you know, the older students, you know, who've been in the army, the Israelis, you know, etc., they were going one by one throughout the day. And we realized something was up.
You know when this first hit me, by the way, about your yeshiva? And that's why, again, parents who are considering where to send their boys as they're in the 11th and 12th grade, they should pay, if they care about these things the way I do, they should pay attention to this. We had, as you know, a great simcha, the Siegel and Pilichowski family, and we're at the engagement party last December in Mitzpeh Yericho, and a couple of boys show up, and I say to Yoshua, who are these guys? Like, you know, there weren't friends from TABC that I knew. He goes, no, these are guys who I went with the Yeshiva HaKotel. I said, and they're back here to celebrate with you? He goes, no. 10 out of 50, I believe that was the percentage, the ratio that he quoted. 10 out of 50 of my classmates, because generally you have 50 foreigners, right? 10 out of 50 decided after yeshiva to stay in Israel. So this is 1/5, 20% of the class that's here. And that, and now to attach it to the terrible tragedy, I say to Gavri, did you know anybody who was being called up that day, Shmini Atzeres? He goes, did I know anybody? There were 10 of them who were Americans. So, you know, of course I knew them. Like, and it hit me that the you know, we talk about, you know, relating to what our brethren are going through. We have to remember, as an American Jewish community, we do have a significant number of students who are now soldiers, who are now serving in the Israeli army.
Well, to relate to the beginning and end of your statement, so first of all, just to be crystal clear, the vast majority of our boys come without any intention of staying.
Correct.
And don't stay, and they get a strong Israel experience. Most of the boys who stay are boys who come with that intention that they're passionate about making
Aliyah. Rabbi Tarrigan concerned that some of the parents might think it's an automatic, huh?
Well, you know.
I get it.
We do want people to realize that most of the guys coming
we're still
not,
a 1 or 2 year old, a 2 year program.
We're
right?
Still a 2 year program. Most of our guys are, you know, back in America and England where they come from. But yeah, it's become much more popular for people to stay in Israel. I think it's happening, frankly, in all the yeshivot.
Right.
There isn't a yeshiva where it's not happening. Machal today is not for people who don't fit in socially or don't have a place to go back to in America. It's for a lot of normal boys, normal families who are doing it. And I'm sure everyone knows people are doing machal. And Aliyah in general from the United States and other countries has gone up. And that's why there were so many Americans involved in the tragedy and were being held hostage.
Yeah.
That you didn't have that in 1973, 1967, correct. In the Maalot massacre. Americans are a big part of the fabric of society here. And that's in all ways, we're part of what's going on here, our own people. I'm sure most of your listeners have grandchildren or the grandchildren of friends or their own children or the children of friends. I don't think you have a single listener who doesn't know personally someone who's on the front lines here in Israel.
Did we feel it in the Beit Midrash? Was there an emptiness in the days following the start of the war with so many of the boys being called up?
Yes and no. Yes, because basically everyone who had done the army in the past was called up. So all the Shana Dalet guys and the Shana Hei guys and the Kolo guys, anyone who did a military role in the army, and even others who did technical roles. But no, because we invited yeshivot who didn't have a place to go to come learn with us here. So we filled the Beit Midrash by opening our doors to others, and there are groups coming to learn each one a week, you know, as they need. So the Beit Midrash is packed.
And they're coming from, give us an example of which cities they're coming from.
They're coming from the south mainly, different places.
Including Sderot?
The Sderot yeshiva is not here, but there are yeshivot from Sderot and other places, and there are high schools and places there who are looking for places to go. And we all have to open our doors to invite them in, and it strengthens both at this time of coming together for the Jewish people. So a lot of our guys aren't here, but the Beis Medrash is full.
Unbelievable. Rabbi Reuven Tarragon is here. Now tell me about the instructors, the Ramim, the Rabbeim. How many of them had to go and serve?
So yeah, you know, our Rabbeim are people who have done the army, mostly, and five of them were called up. One of them who teaches the overseas boys, and we were able to find replacements, not just the Rabbeim, there are Madrichim and Assistant Rabbeim, all kinds of staff who've been drafted, and we're doing our best to help them. And you mentioned alumni in Israel. We asked alumni to come in, each one a Seder a day, to fill in for staff who've been drafted in Baruch Hashem.
Wow.
The response has been excellent. Josh Fagan from Woodmere was here. Josh Appel from Queens was here. Eric Linevsky. I can keep going. Andrew Haberman. I don't want to shortchange
it. Well, these are names very familiar to people listening. Yeah. So 100%. It's significant.
Everyone has to do their part. I think that's a message we're going to talk throughout the conversation. No one on your station can unify the whole people. No one can solve the problem of Hamas. But we all have to do our part. And we have to make sure we're doing everything we can on all these areas. Lo aleinu hamalacha ligmor, but lo anachnu b'nei chorim li'batam. Every Jew has to ask themselves today, am I doing everything I can that I'm called upon to do for the Jewish people right now?
But it does seem, and we got this sense 2 weeks ago when we first spoke, and certainly I'm getting the sense as I walk through the halls of Yeshivat HaKotel, it does seem that you have taken on an additional responsibility, because in this conversation you've laid out what has happened and, you know, the state of the yeshiva now. It's different than you expect. You didn't expect people from other yeshivas around the country to be using your Beit Midrash. I mean, it's different than it was. And in a way, you've already done, you know, your part in this, got to be there to, you know, to play a role in this entire operation. But you felt that wasn't enough. It's obvious, based on the signage and the WhatsApp groups, you felt there needed to be a formal collection or a formal initiative that was introduced in order to combat Hamas, in order to increase the brotherhood in the Jewish community. Tell us about that.
So before I get there, just to fill in a couple of pieces. So we talked about just the yeshiva and people being drafted.
Right.
Big responsibility we had right away was getting the program set for boys to come back a week early. They were supposed to take the Poland trip, bring them back, get their learning set, get a program set, speak to parents who naturally are nervous, and I'm very proud of our parent body who are standing strong and supporting the boys being here. Almost everyone, we understand those who wanted to bring their sons home, we have no...
But it's a very high percentage.
Our percentage here is 95%.
Yeah, it's high.
Here.
And for the USA, I think it's even higher.
Right, the USA in particular.
Right.
And our parents deserve a lot of credit for that.
100%.
For standing strong, and they
proud
all deserve
to be a parent, yeah.
If you know people whose children are in Israel, you should be walking over to them and saying Yeshe Koach on behalf 100%. Of the Jewish people. Those who've brought their sons back should also be given Yeshe Koach and respected. But obviously those who've kept their children here are doing something for the Jewish people, and they need to be given a thank you. So if you're listening to this and you know someone who has a kid in Israel still there, just send them a Yeshe Koach. I'll give you an example, Nachum, just related.
Sure.
One of the groups I run, and I'm running a lot of WhatsApp groups, getting information out and galvanizing people, someone posted that there's a German non-Jewish professor in Oxford who's fighting against anti-Semitism and fighting against Hamas, and we should say thank you. They gave her the number, and I reached out to her yesterday. I said, I want to thank you on behalf of the Jewish people. I gave her my name, told her what I am, who I do, what I do. She wrote me back. It means a lot to me. And that's the Jewish people. You appreciate, you care for those who care for you. And so we should all be thinking, who can we reach out to give a yesher koach? Even if we can't in ourselves do something, we can give a yesher koach. And that's the global communications that made that possible. But to get back to your question.
Sure.
The second major area we've dealt with is supporting our chayalim,
right. Our
Israeli chayalim, our original from Chutz Laretz chayalim, their wives, their families. Everyone needs help right now. They need support. We sent flowers to the wives of the chayalim.
Multiple times, right?
The first two Shabbatot. Right. We look forward this week also. We hope to add parents. But also real equipment that's missing, which will bring us to the next topics. Sadly, the Israeli army had to call up so many reserves that they don't have enough equipment. Basic life-saving equipment. And we've been working, here in the yeshiva, getting equipment to our guys that they need. And that got me involved in helping to raise funds and coordinate efforts for all the chayalim, you know, with Rav Rimon.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, over the past weeks, we've looked for areas that we can help Klal Yisrael, beyond the yeshiva and beyond the soldiers. And the two initiatives you're referring to briefly, we can discuss them if you
please.
Want. Is one is a student-run initiative from Yeshivat HaKotel called Not Going Anywhere. Not to pressure people to stay, but to strengthen those who want to stay. The students, the parents, they're sharing materials. Every day there's a sicha of a different rav, mostly from America, to give strength to the boys and the parents. Rav Herschel Schechter, Rav Ari Leibowitz, Rav Ephraim Goldberg, Rav Mordechai Willig. Rabbi Willig spoke about his experience here during the Six-Day War.
That's right.
Which was really powerful. And again, our goal is not, it's to give strength to those who are looking to be strengthened. And there's 1,000 Shiva seminary students, others in the group, and every day they're posting for each other what they're doing. And it gives a lot of chizuk to see that others are doing that as well. But the real big initiative is the number one thing I think we need to do right now. I think the danger we face is that we deal with the water on the floor and not the faucet. I want to explain what I mean. We're God-fearing Jews. We believe that for sure major events are from God's hand. We believe that what we suffered is not just because crazy Hamasnikim decided to attack us. Hashem had to let them and make it possible. We have to ask ourselves, like with everything else in our lives, why is this happening to us? And with the Holocaust, there's still a big debate why it happened. We don't know. Some people say it's because they didn't go to Israel. Some people say because they did go to Israel. Here, I've only heard one explanation, because we were fighting with each other.
The only thing people are talking about.
That's the only explanation, mainstream explanation that I've heard. And many Rabbanim have reached out to me about it. That we know how terrible things were here, to the point where Jews wouldn't sit in the same sukkah with each other before sukkahs.
And we saw what happened in
Yom Kippur, and sukkahs and hakafos. Do we really have a question about why this happened to us? And if we vanquish Hamas, may we be lucky and support the civilians, and return to where we were the day before Simchat Torah, that would be wonderful, but we've missed the point. We'd be back at square one. If Hashem caused this to happen to us because we were so divided and so fractured, if we don't figure out a way this time, we missed it in 1967, we missed it in 1973, we missed it after COVID. If we don't figure out a way this time to come out of this unified as a Jewish people, all Jews in all places, if I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm asking myself, what do I have to do to get you to come together? And I think every Jew around the world needs to figure out, how do I transcend my differentness, my association, my denomination, and figure out a way to bring the Jewish people together around the world, not just in Bergen County, not just in New Jersey, not just in the United States, around the world. And that's what Achenu is about. And we're working hard at trying to get Jews to transcend themselves. It's very hard.
How does it manifest itself? Do people sign up? Is there a formal program? How does it manifest itself?
It's an excellent question. Nachman, you're cutting right to the chase here. So first of
all, people I'm sure want to join.
So there's a lot of wonderful Achdut initiatives going on around the world, days of care and days of prayer, and they're great and they should be continued, but they're sectarian. Every country has them going on for particular groups, not for all the people in that country, and for sure not connected to around the world. The way we set up Achenu is we're working in 60 countries. Each one of those countries is working in their local level, each community on their local level. We're giving advice on how to build Achdus, and we're doing two more things. We're sharing those initiatives with one another, so everyone can feel like it's Achdus of the Jewish world. And we've created a brand called Achenu, One People, One Family, One Fate. It's in 12 languages on the website. So that if everyone can wear this bumper sticker, shirt, banner outside your shul, school, home, business, in each country outside every Jewish home and business, Jews will feel like We're connected to one another. You don't have to affiliate. You don't have to be committed. By the way, someone said we should use the word one destiny. But we said there are maybe some Jews who don't believe they're part of one destiny. Right. But we all have one fate.
Right.
We're definitely in a boat that's going down together. And we knew that from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom, and we're seeing it again now. The Jews who were attacked were not mostly not religious Jews.
And nobody asked if they observe or not.
And most of them were not observant.
Right.
And I think that we're still going to be different. We're still going to disagree. We still know this way of Judaism I believe is right and this I believe is wrong. And we're not asking anyone to give legitimacy to any other person's way of life. We're asking each other emphasize the brotherhood that we have with one another. Answer to that question, because I didn't answer your question, is sign up for Achenu. There's a website. There are WhatsApp groups. Put a banner outside your home. Get your rabbis, get your community leaders to put out a joint statement. And the initiative we're starting now is a global Siyum, where Shas Mishnayos is being learned, a Mishnah for each Chayal, policeman, and civilian who was killed. 40 columns, one for each community around the world. Go into the website, achenu.world/Siyum. Go into the Google document, write yourself down for some Mishnayos. Because you're not just going to be learning in Bergen County. You're going to be learning as part of Klal Yisrael.
And it's achenu.world, you said?
Dot world.
Achenu.world.
You got it.
That's a great address, frankly. How'd you get to 60 so quickly? We're going to be speaking to some of the students from different parts of the world who are here in Jerusalem now about their specific efforts. But it sounds like to get to 60 countries and have, you know, some type of presence in each one of these countries in just 2-3 weeks is quite a task. How'd you do it so fast?
So first of all, you mentioned the fact that Achenu is being run by volunteers,
right?
Many in Yeshiva Dakota, many in other places. And frankly, for the Yeshiva Dakota students, it's good because it gives them a way between the Zdarim. We're telling them during the Seder Learn, but during the break, this is the time to make a difference for Klai, so it's inspired them. Baruch Hashem, I know and have gotten to know people in different countries through different initiatives around the world. I want to mention that World Mizrahi, obviously,
right,
who we know and love, and our wishes go out to Rav Daron and his family about their son, who we hope is brought back very quickly and safely and sound. World Mizrahi is doing wonderful things on behalf of the Jewish people right now. The Rav Rimon campaign, the Tefillah and Chizuk, the leather writing. Too much, frankly, to be able to share in just one brief meeting, but they're spearheading these efforts. The reason this is not a World Mizrahi event is because the goal is for it to include everyone.
Right.
As soon as it's an organization, Mizrahi Aguda OU HaKotel, well, that's them, not me. This is meant to be us. And so we're all supporting it, but this is being done independently. But getting back to, through the different initiatives I run by Yichan, which I'm sure you remember,
sure,
which was in countries around the world, and different World Mizrahi events around the world. Baruch Hashem, I've gotten familiar with people from different countries. I met yesterday with Rav Berkowitz, Shlita from Eshet Torah, a big tzaddik and leader. So the Eish people are getting involved, and that's the goal. The goal is let's get our best team on the field in each country. Doesn't matter which part we're shaykh to, and bring the Jewish people together. If I share with you later who we hope to speak at the Siyum that we're making in 3 weeks from now, you'll see right away just the breath of people, of fresh air.
You said to me off the air that there was a miraculous story. I don't know if you call it a miracle, but certainly one of, you know, where the one above, it seemed, had some intervention. Just recently, as you're making this effort to get different rabbis and leaders around the world to participate in Achenu, what happened?
So again, miracles, what do we know? But when you do the right thing, sometimes you see that you're just a piece and God is guiding you. In fact, I'll take a step back. I'm so busy working on all these things and helping the boys and et cetera. And I go into Shabbos, I'm exhausted, I'm not sleeping. And
well, you're known for not getting much sleep anyway. But that's a separate issue.
A week and a half ago, Shabbos in Shul, I went to Daven like a Yid. I finally slept a night. And all of a sudden, my mind was taken over. And ideas just got flooding my mind. I couldn't Daven. I couldn't focus on anything. And for whole Shabbos, I was like a captive audience. Things were screening in front of me about
what needs to happen.
Again, we believe God puts us the ideas. They don't come from light bulbs. And so I felt throughout the process driven. But just to get back to the story you mentioned, I reached out to one of the Supreme Court justices in Israel, and we know how much they were part of the fractious.
Sure.
I'm not blaming them, but they were part of it.
Right.
We're part of the two teams tangoing. And I said, I'd like the Chief Justice of the State of Israel, Esther Chiyut, I'd like her to speak as part of the Achdus program. And the people I tell this to are like, what's wrong with you? That's the other side. I said, there's no side. This is the Jewish people. And I asked him if he would speak to Esther Chiyut to speak. He said, absolutely. Monday, yesterday, I got out of shir. I look at my phone. There's a letter of approval from the chief rabbi of Israel. It touched me.
For Achenu.
For Achenu. 2 minutes later, I get a phone call from the chief, from the justice. Noam Solberg is a religious justice right now. He goes, I'm going into Esther Chiyut. I just have one question. Who supports this? I said, the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. He goes, really? Wow, that's serious. He goes, can you show me anything? I said, you have a letter. Wow. He said, can you send it over to me? Yeah, I happen to have it right here on my phone. Now, I, you know, I mean, what did I do, right? Who could I possibly have arranged that? I'll tell you a story about the vests. I don't know if you want to talk about it. The vest campaign, where, you know, with Rav Rimon, World Mizrahi spearheading. There were vests in Haifa that got in late Thursday night. The army said on Sunday we'll deal with them. Eli Tarrigan, my cousin who's running Rav Rimon's organization, said, this is Sakonis Nefashos, there's no Sunday. Tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, we're there to pick up the vests. And I was talking to a friend of mine from New Jersey, we know from the Lower East Side, Chaim Meir Mermelstein. Sure. We all know him. And we were talking about things, and he said to me, you know, I have friends, a company of my wife's friend in Haifa, they have trucks. Would it be helpful to you? You know, there's vests there, these are heavy vests. I said, you know what, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, let me see. I go into the WhatsApp of my cousin, Eli Tarrigan, and he has a message from me. Do you know anyone who can bring the vests from Haifa? We need some serious vehicles. So, meaning, I know nothing. I'm just, Chaim Mermelstein, Mercer, and many of the recommendation. I go in there, he's asking me the same question. I'm like, I'm a small piece of something bigger that someone's coordinating. You know, we say in Tehillim, Shiftecha u'meshantecha heima yenachamuni, God's rod and his staff console us. And the Mefarshim explain, when God hits us, he shows us a little nechama afterwards, just to let you know, I'm there with you. I had to hit you, but I'm there with you. So these little pieces.
And there's an additional point, and that is when you make the effort, he helps you along. He gets you to the last step.
Siyata d'shmaya, right? It's not, it's siyata d'shmaya. And that's the point I want to ask everyone listening to this. Everyone has to ask themselves, what am I doing right now? Am I doing the most I can do right now? The most. Right. And I personally believe the efforts need to be invested in achdus. And I want to start from each individual. Every person has a family member they don't talk to. Isn't that sad? They have neighbors they have tension with. They have people across the street they never talk to, and Jews around the block who they don't talk to because they're not like me. Every Jew has to start with themselves, not with the community. How do I make up with that family member? I want to share a beautiful story with you, Nachum. I spoke yesterday to Rav Berkowitz, I mentioned from Eshet Torah. He told me he was counseling a couple, married couple, who had very serious issues to the point where they don't talk to each other. They stay together for the kids, but they don't talk to each other. So after the Simchas Torah massacre, the husband wrote a letter to the wife. He said, you know, we have bigger issues right now. Whatever you want. And he got them made up. And this gives us an opportunity to bury the hatchet with people you can't go to on a regular day. You can't talk to them because how are you going to... Now you can say, Am Yisrael needs to make up. We need to make up. Are we reaching out? Are we arranging community events that include every Jew in the community? Are we arranging them in a way that includes them? Rav Schechter said people can reach out to him with shaylos about how to do it. He said, when I spoke to Rav Schechter...
A halachic way to do it.
I said to Rav Schechter, you know, he sent out a video in support. I said, can we include non-religious? Because they absolutely need to include non-religious Jews. I said, can I send people to you to ask you?
Right, it might involve a little Shabbos, other things, right.
What's the right way?
They're Shiloh's
and these things need to be done in a way that's right for everyone, or it's not comfortable for people.
I thank you. Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan is our host. Yeshiva Dakotel is our host as we broadcast on a Wednesday morning here at JMN. We're going to meet some of the people that we alluded to earlier in the next couple of hours, and I hope you'll join us toward the end of the show again to encourage more and more people. And it's achenu.world, achenu.world. World in order to participate in the initiative.
And you can read about it if you speak English, Hebrew, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Czech, Dutch. I'm forgetting a few. We're actually looking for people to translate into Russian and Italian. We haven't yet found those people. So if you speak those languages and can help us, because it's the whole world's Jewish community. And I'll just share one last point with you, Nachum. Yeah. This week's parasha, Hashem tells Avram, your children are going into Galus. He says, Ger yezaracha beretz lolahem. Your children will be foreigners. Why does it say ger? It should say ger in plural. So the Svarim explain that when Jews are in Gullus, they feel alone. They feel separated. And even if we have all the Jews in Bergen County, we still feel we're isolated, we're being attacked. As soon as we start to feel the Jews in Uruguay and Tanzania, we're going to feel a different feeling. And that's part of Geula, coming together from around the world.
Right.
This is a moment where we can take something positive out of the negative.
Let's take advantage of it. Rabbi Reuven Tarrigan, we're at Yeshiva Dakotel. It is a Wednesday morning broadcast. Plenty more coming up. You're listening to JM in the AM.